Good morning. I think by now you should know what is that a theme for today, right? Have you been tempted before? Well, it looks like our church have escaped, right? Temptation. Have you been tempted before?
Yes.
Once? Twice? Too much? Right? I think we face all kinds of temptation in our life, right? At every stage of our life, at every moment of our life, we always face some kind of temptation, because I think that's the work of the devil. Many a times he wants to, you know, just drag us into his net, right? He doesn't want us to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you realize, for the past few weeks, we have been looking at the living the Lord's Prayer, right? All of us are very familiar with the Lord's Prayer. We recite the Lord's Prayer. It's important for us to live out the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer, as I said last week, it's like a test, right? Every time I say the Lord's Prayer, I need to find out, you know, am I healthy today, right? Am I seeking, am I seeing God as my Father? Do I have that kind of intimate relationship with God, right? Am I seeking God's will, right? Am I asking God for my daily provision? Or am I just assuming things will be there for me? Right? Am I exercising faith? So the Lord's Prayer is a powerful test for us. So last week we said, you know, it's about spiritual tests too, right? We test, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us, right? As I said, to be healthy, one has to receive forgiveness from God. I think we need to be living a forgiven life. Each and every moment, we need God's forgiveness in our life. At the same time, I think we need to be found forgiving others. So if we are not forgiven, we are struggling in our sin, right? We are not able to overcome temptation in our life. We are just being drawn back. What's happening? Our spiritual life shows that we are not healthy. And when we are not exercising forgiveness, we are not reconciling with people, right? Then what's happening? I think our spiritual health is on the downhill. And so today we are going to look at the next one, which is another important one of the Lord's Prayer, right? It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity, O God, that you have given to us, that we can come as your people, O God, who love you. We want your presence in our life. We want your word, O God, to dwell in our lives, Father. Help us, O Lord, to listen to your word, to be obedient to your word. Help us, Lord, to love your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, very interesting, when Jesus started the Lord's Prayer, and the last week we saw, he started saying, you know, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Can you imagine? Jesus starts, right, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us, and then immediately, you know, we feel, you know, once forgiveness, we have experienced forgiveness in our life, everything is perfect, everything is okay, everything is good, right? It's good to go kind of a thing. But immediately Jesus jumps into another request and says, and lead us not into temptation. Can you imagine? I was always wondering why, right? Jesus, you know, after saying, Lord, seeking God's forgiveness, we feel we are free indeed, right? Everything is okay. I'm settled with God. I'm fine. My life is good because I'm forgiven. But then Jesus immediately jumps and says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think Jesus gives us attention to about temptation and evil. It doesn't mean because I'm forgiven, because I've experienced forgiveness from God, right, I do not face temptation. Let me tell you, when you are going through some kind of spiritual experience in your life, Satan is always there to tempt you, my friend. So it doesn't mean that I'm forgiven, that I can avoid temptation. Just sin is just knocking at your door, right? As you read in Genesis, it talks about it. It's just coming and knocking at your door and just waiting to drag you into that trap, my friend. And so it's important for us to be aware of this. And that's why, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, one powerfully, he said, the disciple of Christ is always conscious of his weakness, because we are human beings, we are fallen natures. Though we are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the sin is always in us. And so he says, you know, the disciple of Jesus need to be conscious of his weakness and does not expose himself unnecessarily to temptation in order to test the strength of his faith. So, in other words, I think we need to always be conscious, right? We need to tell ourselves, you know, I need to be careful in my spiritual journey. It doesn't mean my doctor said I'm okay, right? I can start eating all over again. Right? It doesn't mean like that. I need to be careful in the way that I live. Right? It doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want. And so today, I think it's important. Jesus is teaching us something. I think each and every one of us need to be aware. So lead us into temptation. N.T. Wright says beautifully, right? It means, Lord, let us escape the great tribulation, the great testing that is coming on all the world. So according to scholarship, it can also mean not about the present suffering that we might be going through. It can be the great tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation, when you look in the book of Revelation, right? Or the great testing that's coming all over the world. Or it can also mean, do not let us be led into temptation that we will be unable to bear. Lord, we do not want to go there, kind of a thing. Right? Because we are unable to bear. It can also mean, right, enable us to pass safely through the testing of our faith. There are moments in our God that God will test our faith, my friend, because God doesn't tempt us to do evil, right? He might test our faith. But I think N.T. Wright says it's asking God to enable us to pass safely, right, when God is testing our faith. You know, I do not know how many of you have actually read there's a lot of scholarship that's happening on this particular word, because Pope Francis have made a statement saying that we need to change this particular phrase because it gives us the impression that God is leading us into temptation. So I was reading scholarship, and very interesting scholarship, it's happening, you know, and people are still discussing, should we change what the Pope have said, or should we just leave it like that? And so the discussion is still going on. Let's not deal into that kind of discussion, but let's move on. Let's move on to see what God has for us today. And so today we will ask ourselves, does God really tempt us, right? And what is temptation? How do I face temptation in my life? You know, am I safe in this world? And so we will try asking certain questions and to see that we will be, like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, that we need to always be conscious. We need to safeguard our Christian life and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus said the word, you know, it tells us, I think we need to be real about temptation. He did not avoid about it, you know, he spoke about it. Even in the Lord's Prayer, he's including about the word temptation. So evil is real, whether you like it or not, my friend, right? There's so much evil that's happening in the world, right? The recent attack, the acts of violence that's happening in the world. Many a times we blame, you know, because of what's happening in the world. But I think evil is real, and so temptation is always real. I was reading an article, I just forgot this author. He said, if you have not faced temptation, then you have to ask yourself whether you're a Christian or not. Because if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, let me tell you, Satan is always there trying to drag you away. He doesn't want you to have a close relationship with the Father. He doesn't want you to exercise your Christian trust and obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be real about temptation. It affects everyone. Very interestingly, if you look at it, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you what is common to mankind. In other words, it's a common thing in mankind. Interesting word in the Greek text, right? When I looked at the word common to mankind, it says it's after the manner of humanity. If you're human, you will have temptation. Very powerfully written in the Greek word, right? It's after the manner of humanity, right? Each and every one of us face temptation. right? Even as you're sitting today, you're also facing temptation, right? Maybe your minds might be just going somewhere else, right? Maybe when you are praying, you're not exercising faith in God. When you're worshiping, you know, maybe you don't want to really kind of a worship. You just want to just be quiet kind of a thing. So what's happening? Temptation comes at different stages and different areas of our life, my friend. So it's a common thing, because if you look at it, Jesus was also tempted, right? The first thing that happens before Jesus started the ministry, he was tempted. He was drawn into the wilderness to be tempted, my friend. So welcome to the world of temptation. Right? If you're a Christian, let me tell you, Satan is just waiting, right? Even in the church, even after you're done with the service, he's just waiting to just draw you into his trap. And so Jesus is giving a lot of emphasis on temptation. You know, temptation is there. It doesn't mean because temptation is there, you know, I become a sinner. When you fall into temptation, then it becomes a sin. Temptation is always there, in beautifully disguised, my friend. But then we need to be careful that if not, it becomes a sin in our life. Have you ever wondered why Jesus did not specifically mention? He just said in the prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Very generic kind of a way Jesus said. And sometimes I think I said, because I think the Lord knows, right? There are different kinds of temptation in our life. There are different things that actually tempt us. My temptation might be different. Your temptation might be different. A person who's younger, the temptation might be different. A person who's much more older, the temptation is different. So at different stage of our life, we have different kinds of temptation. So I think it's important for us to name the temptation. Name that you know that it will draw me in. You know, this is the thing, Pastor Vincent, you know, I'm always tempted. I think start writing and start avoiding it. Because if you don't name it, my friend, if you know there are certain things that will draw you in, right? Tell yourself, I'm not going there. I'm not going to engage my conversation with these kinds of friends because I know I can be tempted. I'm not going to go to this particular place because I know in my past, you know, my life was just worse because of that place. And I'm not going to go there. So it's important for us to name the thing that draws us into temptation, right? Two things. Firstly, we realize there is a temptation that's always within, right? It talks about the heart. Right, it's not really outside, my friend. If you're a human, there's always in your heart a desire to break the moral law of God. Though it is revealed, if you read Romans 2:15, you know, God has revealed his moral law to us. But what happens? In our heart, right, we want to go against God's moral law. And so there is always an enemy inside you, my friend, just talking to you and saying, let's do this. Let's go against God's moral law. And that's why Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond, and who can understand it? Right? You might be a person who loves the Lord, but let me tell you, you're vulnerable. Your heart is saying something else to you. It's always, right? It's always trying to tell you, because it wants to take you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus named some of the temptations, right, which is very common to people. Matthew 15:19-20, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, right? And then in Matthew 9:4, evil thoughts, and 22:18, evil motives. And so there are many things, you know, you look at the Bible very carefully, it has been named. I think we know what we struggle with. We know the things that we will fall into it. And so the heart is always there trying to deceive us and say, it's okay this time. It's okay this time. And that's the way Satan always wants to work in our life. Secondly, I think, let me move fast. I think secondly, it's the enemy around us, my friend. So this author is also talking about media. He's talking about the idea of sex, race, religion, right? It talks about life is becoming very complex. These are some of the precious enemies around, my friend. Today, let me, if you realize, we talk a lot about race. Even though we are living in a very postmodern society, right? It still divides people, right? Religion and mass media have become a force in our lives, my friend. I think that's why Paul always says that we need to be very discerning. We need to be just on the lookout, because we think this is part of life, Pastor, right? This is part of life. This is the way people are living. Sometimes we think, you know, the Bible was just written 2,000 years ago to a particular culture of people. It is not relevant today. You know, many a time that's the way we look at it, my friend. The Bible talks about homosexuality. It talks about alternate style of living, which is contrary to the Word of God, right? Today, it has become a norm. It is acceptable, my friend, right? What's happening in the world today? And we say we are progressing. We are becoming civilized. We are becoming modernized, right? Let me tell you, we are becoming what's happening, you know, that's the New Age movement called, you know, we are becoming our own gods, my friend. I decide what I want and nothing is wrong, right? We have become a small idol within ourselves. And so, secondly, I think we need to be responsible about temptation, right? Be real. Let's face it, temptation is there. Everyone, right? Whether you like it or not, it's there, it's real. If Jesus was tempted, right, Satan is always there to tempt you. But thank God Jesus did not fall into temptation. And we have a great Savior. Let me start by saying, looking at Martin Luther. Martin, I think this time of the year, you'll see a lot of birds flying. Am I right? So you know, spring is here. But I do not know what has happened to spring. Like today, we feel like winter, right? My wife told me, she said, you know, look out the window. You'll see snow. For a moment, I thought I'm dreaming. I realized that I was not. I did not bite my hand to see whether I'm dreaming or not. What's happening to the weather, right? You can hear the birds coming. So Martin Luther said, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair, my friend. Temptations are always flying around us, right? But you and I can't stop with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always there. It's always flying. It's always around. And so you and I can, with God's help, right, overcome temptation. And that's why James says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. You know, I was reading an article, very interesting. The author is trying to say that in the 1960s, people were you know, they were always blaming the devil for temptation. There was a study that was done in the 60s. You know, they were always blaming, it's because of the devil I'm tempted. Satan is there to tempt me. And so they were always blaming Satan. In the 70s, you know, during the hippies time, I think, they were always blaming the establishment. Because of the establishment, because of the institution, because of governments, you know, we are tempted to do all these things. We want to be engaged in all these activities, kind of a thing. In the 80s, right, we were blaming our environment, our circumstances, and say, you know, because of life situations, right, I've actually fallen into temptation. In the 90s, what has happened, I think we speak about addictions, right? It's about addictions. So if you're an alcoholic, right, we don't talk about drinking. We say it's just an addiction. You're addicted, right? Why? It's I do not know. I'm just addicted. Probably it's in my genes, kind of a thing. Very interesting study. And lastly, you know, today, you know what's happening? We blame God, my friend. Have you realized? When something happens, we say, where was God when this was happening? Pastor Vincent, I'm going through a temptation. Why did God allow such temptation in my life? There were moments we were blaming someone else, and today the generation is such, we blame God for the struggles that we experience each and every moment. We don't want to take ownership of the temptation that we go through, my friend. We have started blaming God. If there is an act of violence, we blame God. If there is poverty, we blame God. If we got into sin, my friend, we blame God. That's the generation that we are living in. We are just trying to blame God. And so no one should say that God is tempting me, my friend, because God will never do that in our lives. Let's go back to James. And James is telling us, you know, some of the steps we need to be careful, right? Because how it starts in our life, because God will never do that, right? He will always help us or even strengthen our faith. He might test us to see whether we are still dependent on Him, whether we are still obedient to Him. And so when you look at James, James is talking in this particular passage, James chapter 1 verse 14 onwards. He starts by saying there's always a desire. In some versions you will read there's a lust, right? Lust is actually it's a desire. But then evil lust means uncontrollable desire, right? Sleep is not wrong, but laziness is a sin, right? Hungry, you become, right? You become hungry, it's not sin, but gluttony becomes a sin. So what's happening? Desire is not wrong, but uncontrolled desire, that's sin, my friend, right? That becomes a sin in our lives. That's, it always starts with a desire to do, right? Things which will be against us. Secondly, in verse 14, he uses the word, we are dragged. Very interesting way James writes, right? He says, you know, Satan doesn't just throw a temptation to us. He will just drag us to a corner so that you cannot escape, my friend. That's the way he will do it, right? He will not just throw a temptation like an open sea and catch you. He will drag you. He knows where to bring you. He knows the kind of people that he should draw you into so you will fall into temptation. He will bring you to places you should not visit because he is just drawing you there. And then what happens? You fall into. And that's why, you know, you are dragged and you are enticed. You're caught. How many of you go for fishing? Yes, I see 1, 2, 3. Any more fishermen? Yeah, right? I think fishing is nice. If you fish, if you just throw the hook, the fishes will not come because they don't like hooks. They don't like hooks. But when you put a bait, probably a nice worm, healthy worm, or a nice bait, and you throw it into the water, you know, the what happens, I think, the fish will come, right? It comes and takes, but then he realizes what has happened. The worm has actually taken over the fish. And that's what he's trying to say, right? We are enticed. You don't like the hook, but actually it's not there. It's there, but you don't see it. It's there, my friend. You might not see it as a sin, but it's there. It's there, hidden. Right? It looks nice. The fish might think, you know, I've taken the worm. But let me tell you, the worm would be laughing by saying, you know, I've taken you. Right? You're caught. You're enticed. And that's how it starts. And then in verse 15, it gives birth to sin. What is sin? Sin is disobedient. Sin is saying, Lord, I know what I'm doing. I have my own way. Don't come and tell me, God. That's sin, my friend. It's saying that I'm the boss. I have my own ways of doing. And I want to do the way which I want. And that's sin. And then finally, it leads us, according to James, in verse 15, it says, you know, it leads us to death. What does it mean? Temporal death, right? We might be living in this world, but we are dead inside, my friend. We are not free indeed, right? We are dead inside. We are just walking dead kind of a people. And finally, we will have the eternal death, what James is also talking about. So we need to be very careful, right? It starts with a desire, right? Money is not evil, but the lust for money, for the love of money, becomes evil, right? Because you want more. You have greed. It comes in, it moves into deception, disobedience, and then death. You know, Saint Augustine said this word. He said, habit, if not resisted, soon becomes necessity, right? It becomes, if you don't resist the habits, my friend, what happens? It becomes one act, become your lifestyle, and that's the way you start living your world. You might not be conscious of that, my friend. I think we need to be very careful. That's what St. Augustine is trying to teach us from this word. You know, let me finish by saying, you know, but thank God, right? 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, and he says, you know, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. Can you imagine? The God that you and I worship is a faithful God, right? He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it, my friend. And I thank God because I have Jesus. There's always a voice saying, you know, trust in Him. Just lean on to Him. Is able to help us. God is faithful, my friend. God is able to help us in this journey. You know, I'm just wanting you to just look at these words. The first thing I think we need to ask ourselves is Christ your Savior and Lord. That's important, right? Is Christ your Savior and Lord? To resist temptation, first and foremost, one has to be reborn again, right? Christ has to be not only your Savior, but the Lord of your life. To resist, if not, it will be difficult for us. Then we need to renew our minds. Go back, start reading. You know, Paul says, think of all these things, right? Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, because Satan always starts hitting your mind first. He knows, right? He talks to you here. And so Paul says, start thinking of all the good things. And lastly, he says, resist, right? Submit to God, right? Stand against the devil, right? Every time temptation comes, you know, you must be like Jesus who says, get behind me, Satan, right? If an evil thought comes, tell him, right? Get behind me. I'm a child of God, and my God is faithful, and He will help me, and I'll overcome that. Stand against Him, right? And draw near to God. Only God can give us the help, my friend. He's the best and the only resource that we have to overcome temptation in this world. Story time. Let me finish with a story. It's about a Sunday school session. There was a Sunday school that was happening, and you know, the teacher wanted to teach them about temptation. And so the Sunday school teacher asked the kids, you know, how do you deal with temptation? How do you deal with temptation? Very interesting, one person, one of the child who was seated in the class, stood up and said, I know how to deal with temptation. And so the teacher was so fascinated to know, tell me, what's the answer? You know, probably the teacher was expecting the child to read some verses and all that, and just, you know, to defend. But very interestingly, the child answered it this way, very profound. She said, if Satan knocks at my door, I will ask Jesus to open the door. I will not open the door. I will ask Jesus to open the door. And she continued by saying, when Jesus opens the door, Satan looks at Jesus and says, oops, wrong house, wrong number, wrong street. And he will immediately leave the place. So when I read the story, I was telling myself, right, when Satan knocks the door, Who is going to answer the door? Is it Jesus or is it you, my friend? Let me tell you, if you answer the door, you will be enticed, you will be dragged. But if Jesus is with you and with Christ, when you open the door, Satan will say, I'm sorry, I think I got the wrong address, right? This is not the place that I should come. So we need to ask ourselves, is Christ in my heart today? Today you and I cannot overcome temptation with our own energy or effort or strength, my friend, because we don't have the resources. We are fighting against the prince of this world. Can you imagine? The powers of this world. I don't have the strength, neither any one of us have the strength, my friend. It's only when we allow Jesus to open the door and say, Lord, you open the door, right? Things will be in control. Who will open the door? Is it you or is it Jesus when temptation comes knocking at your door? Let's pray. What a profound statement that small child made. When temptation knocks at my door, I will ask Jesus to open the door. Dear friends, whether you like it or not, let me tell you, each and every one of us, including myself, will be tempted every moment. Satan comes to tempt us, and that's why Jesus taught us. Immediately after forgiveness, he wants us to be aware that Satan's power is always real. Evil is always real, my friend. Temptation is always real. He's just coming. He's just coming, knocking at our door. Can we boldly say, you know, when temptation knocks at my door, Pastor Vincent, I have Jesus in my heart and he will answer the door. I'll just be with him and he will answer the door. And if you don't have Christ, my friend, let me tell you, when you open the door, you will fall into temptation. We need Christ. We need him. Because God is faithful. He will help us. Just tell him, Lord, I want you to take control of my life, oh God. I want you to answer every temptation that knocks at my door, Father, because I know I don't have the strength. I know, Lord, it's only you. And with your help, Father, I can overcome each and every moment's temptation. Help us, Lord. Oh God, we pray that you'll help us. And we thank you, Lord, that we have Jesus with us today. Whatever temptation we might be facing or going through, Father, help us, O Lord, to call upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.